You're in Mark chapter number 9. I'm gonna say a couple words in way of introduction. I'm gonna try not to be long. I know we got the Lord's table tonight, and so if you would, though, I'm gonna ask you while I say a couple words to find your place, and also in Luke chapter 9. Maybe stick something there, your finger or a piece of paper. I'm gonna kind of jump back and forth. I may even go to Matthew's account in chapter 17 at some point, but Mark 9 and Luke 9, I believe, is where I'll spend most of the time. I want to say a couple things. I struggled. I told Pastor I thought about going back and re-preaching some things I preached last week. I felt like I didn't give the truth the truth that it needed to be given, or the attention it needed to be given. But I tell you, God's just really been challenging me as I've been looking at Peter's life. And I had what I preached put into practice this past week. I told a couple folks about this. But, you know, I was talking about last week Peter's contradiction, and how that we can say something. We can really believe something, but it's not as much what we say with our lips, but it's what do we do with our lives. And that was kind of the message last week. Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus told him something he didn't like, he didn't agree with, and things changed. This past week, I was asked last Sunday, actually last Sunday morning, I got a call and was asked to preach a funeral of a 21-year-old young man. And I'll be honest with you, I was a little terrified of it. Some of you contacted me, said you were praying for me, and I sure do appreciate it. God's faithful. Amen. I asked about testimonies. I wanted to just stand up, but I knew I was going to get an opportunity, and I just wanted to say I'm so glad God's faithful. Amen. God has showed himself faithful to me so many times through the years, and he's just a faithful God. Amen. I just want to publicly say tonight before I preach his word that I love him. Amen. And I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of his blessings upon me. I'm not worthy of his faithfulness to me. I feel so unworthy to stand up and preach his word. I'm not really able without his help. I realize that without God, I can do nothing. He's showing me that more and more. More and more he's showing me, you need me, son. But anyway, I'll be honest with you, I tried to talk myself out of preaching that funeral. It's just not something I enjoy doing, preaching funerals. And I had an out. We had plans that Saturday morning when they told me the time of the funeral. And, you know, it's amazing how God, sometimes you have to preach. God, sometimes when you're preparing to preach, he's preaching to you. And I thought, what a coward I would be. And what a contradiction it would be for me to say, I believe God can do this, and I believe God can do that, and I believe God opens doors, and I believe God does this. And then God give me an opportunity to get up before a bunch of people that possibly are lost. No doubt a lot of people that are hurting, and not try to bring comfort to them and help them. And I thought, what kind of contradiction would that be? I can get up here and I can say a lot of things, but where the rubber meets the road is how I live it out in my life. So I want to preach to you tonight, though, out of Mark chapter number 9. And I want to talk tonight about Peter's confusion. Now, I'm gonna approach this passage of Scripture probably a little bit different than many have approached it before, and I hope I'm not taking it out of context. I don't believe that I am. I've been studying it. I've been reading it. I'm going to have to move on at some point in some of these messages on Peter. I start reading the passage, and I feel like I just got to preach it, and at some point, I'm going to start moving along a little faster in Peter's life, but God's just helping me as I study lessons from the life of Peter. You know, something I'm seeing in Peter's life that I see in my life and I see in your life, I see in really every Christian's life, is God's working on us. You know, God was working on Peter. I feel like I'm kind of being hard on him these last couple messages and maybe even tonight, but I'm really not being hard on Peter. I thank God for Peter. You know why? Because Peter's life teaches me some lessons that apply to my life. And God was working in Peter's life. God was molding and God was making Peter into the man that he wanted him to be. The Bible says that Jesus, in Romans chapter 8, I believe it is, says that we're being conformed into the image of his son. You know, God's conforming us. God is working on us. God is doing some things in our lives to try to make us and mold us. That's what that word conform means. It means to be pressed into a mold. He's trying to conform us into the image of his son. And I see that in Peter's life, and I'm learning some lessons from it. And tonight I want to look at Peter's confusion out of Mark chapter number 9. And in order to do that, the first thing I want us to see is the event here in Mark chapter number 9. Look at verse number 1. It says, "And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. The first thing I see about this event where Peter is confused at is that it was a promised event. Now, there's a little bit of a debate about verse number 1 here, and then Luke chapter number 8, the last verse, no, the first verse of Luke chapter 9, and the last verse of Matthew chapter number 16. There's some that think that that's not what Jesus is talking about, but no doubt I believe that Jesus is talking about his transfiguration. If you really study it out, I think it's kind of a hard thing to debate. But here's what Jesus is saying. There's some of you that's going to see the kingdom of God come with power. I'll show you here in a minute why I believe that Jesus was talking about his transfiguration. But so the first thought is this event that Jesus is, this event here in this story is a promised event. Jesus promised his disciples about 7 days, six or seven days before this happened that there was going to be some of them standing there that would not taste death till they see the kingdom of God come with power. And so it was a promised event. But not only that, I think it was a powerful event. Look at verse number 2. It says, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them." That's a powerful event right there. You say, what does that word transfigured mean, Brother David? That word is where we get our word metamorphosis. It's what happens to a caterpillar when it becomes a butterfly. Jesus was transfigured before the eyes of these disciples. The Bible says that he, in verse number 3, it says, "His raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them." You're talking about a powerful event. I mean, the Lord Jesus is being shown from the inside out. They are getting a glimpse of the glory of God. It changed Peter's life. I'm telling you, when you read over in 2 Peter, and I may turn there here in a minute. I will turn there. Go to 2 Peter real quick. 2 Peter chapter number 1 quickly. I want to show you how powerful of an event this was and why I believe that this is the event Jesus was talking about in verse number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1, look at verse number 16. The Bible says this, "For we have not," this is Peter writing, "for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power." See, it was a powerful event. He said, "We made unto you know the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And verse 18 says, "And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount." You can go back to Mark chapter number 9. You see, I believe Peter's talking about this event. It was a powerful event. I mean, Peter said, we saw Jesus in his majesty. We saw Jesus in his coming, in his kingdom here on this earth. Peter said, we caught a glimpse of it. We were eyewitnesses of it. I believe John said in John chapter number 1, some of our school learned John chapter 1. In John chapter number 1, I believe it is, John said, "We beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." John, when did you behold his glory here on the mountain? You see, it was a powerful event. So not only was it a promised event, but it was a powerful event. And I believe it was also a prophetic event. Look at verse number 4. It says, "And there appeared unto him Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus." You say, why was it a prophetic event, Brother David? Look in Luke chapter number 9. I want you to see what they were talking about. Luke chapter number 9 and verse number 31, it says this. Well, verse 30 says, "And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem." So here we are on the mountain, and Jesus is transfigured on that holy mount, and Jesus is there, and it's Elijah, and it's Moses, and they're having a conversation, and they're talking about his decease at Jerusalem. This hasn't happened yet. So this is a prophetic event. Elijah and Moses and Jesus, they're talking about Jesus going to Jerusalem and dying. I really believe it's carrying over from Matthew chapter 16 last week when Jesus began to show his disciples and Peter how that he was going to go. He said he must go to Jerusalem. He must be delivered up and he must die. And Jesus now, here a week later, Jesus has got Peter and James and John and they're up on the Mount of Transfiguration, that high mountain, that holy mountain, that heavenly mountain. And Jesus is showing them some things, and Jesus is there. It's a prophetic event. There's some things that are being talked about that have not happened yet. Not only is it a prophetic event, but I believe this. I believe it was a private event. Go back to Mark chapter number 9. Mark chapter number 9, it says this in verse number 2. It says, after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John and leadeth them up into a high mountain. And look at it, it says, apart by themselves. The Bible says they was apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. So not only was it a powerful event, not only was it a prophetic event, but it was a private event. And so I want us to get the glimpse here of this event here. You know, I think of some of the events that have gone on in our lives. Now, I'm not trying to get too much out of the context of the scripture here, but to try to lay down my groundwork for where I'm going with what happens next, I want you to think about some events in our lives, some powerful events in our lives. I'm sure if we were to think back, we could think back to some things that have happened that we would say, wow, that was pretty powerful. Something that God did that was amazing. It was a powerful thing. Maybe even it was a promise thing. Maybe it was something that you could go to a passage of scripture and say, God promised that this would happen. And God showed his power in that event. Maybe it's even a prophetic event. You know, I was thinking Brother Philip mentioned Ukraine, and I'm not saying that's prophecy being fulfilled, but I'm not saying it ain't either. I think about COVID and all that our country, our world has went through, and I'm not saying that it's prophetic, but I'm not saying it's not either. The Bible says that in the last days, perilous times shall come, right? Talks about wars and rumors of wars and nation rising against nation, and there'll be pestilences in diverse places and earthquakes and all these things it says is going to happen in the end times. You see, that's a prophetic event. And as I look at our lives and I think about the powerful events in our lives or the prophetic events in our lives, we may possibly be living in times that were prophesied about. Not only that, I think about the private events in our lives. You know, there's sometimes God will just do something for us when nobody else is around. Of all the events that's happened in my life, I can tell you this, some of the greatest have been in private. Just me and God. Man, Miss Imboden, I got to say this. Thank you for quoting that song. That song will preach right there. He that hideth in the secret place of the Almighty. I'm not even going to try to quote it because I will quote it wrong. But man, you're talking about a preaching psalm right there. But you get alone, you get in that secret place, you hide yourself in God, and I tell you, God will do some things in your life. And so this is the event that we have here on the Mount Transfiguration. So I see the event, but I want to look at this. I'm talking about Peter's confusion, the event of his confusion. I want to look at the evidence. You say, I don't know that Peter was confused. I think he was. Now, I might be wrong. I've studied it out, and there's different opinions here, but I'm preaching tonight and not the other guy. So I don't mean pastor. I mean the commentator or whoever believes the opposite. But I'm going to try to present you with some evidence tonight why I believe Peter was confused, okay? And then you decide, right? I'm not trying to tell you what to believe. I'm telling you here's the evidence, and then you decide, right? So the first evidence I see that Peter was confused here on this mountain is this. The first evidence that I see is that Peter was sleeping. Look at Luke chapter number 9. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 9. I'm not being hard on Peter tonight. I wrote this down. I want to make sure I say it. I'm not trying to be hard on him tonight because if I'm honest, sometimes I feel like this is where I live in a state of confusion. You say you shouldn't say that, Brother Dave. Well, I'm just being honest with you. Sometimes I just get confused. I just don't understand. That's where Peter was. And God was helping Peter, and Jesus was working on Peter, and I'm glad that when I'm confused and when I contradict myself and when I do all these things that Jesus doesn't leave me by myself. He just keeps working with me, and he just keeps helping me, and he just keeps molding me, and he just keeps making me into what he wants me to be, and that's what he's doing in Peter's life. But see, Peter is confused. You say, what makes you think he's confused? Well, the first thing is that he's sleeping in Luke chapter number 9. Look at verse number 32. The Bible says in Luke chapter 9, I'm having a hard time finding it. Verse 32, here it is. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. I'm not sure exactly why they were asleep. It could be that it was nighttime. I tend to believe it was. I can't prove it from the scripture, but I tend to believe that this event happened at night. But I don't know why the disciples were asleep. Maybe it's because it was nighttime. Maybe it's because they were tired from climbing the mountain. I mean, they were in a high mountain. I'm not sure exactly how high that mountain was. I read after different men, and some believe that this mountain is pretty high, that they could have even gotten up so high that there was probably snow caps on that mountain. So I'm not exactly sure what the reason is that they were asleep, but maybe it's because it was nighttime. Maybe it's because they were tired. Maybe it's because the devil was singing a lullaby to them. You ever had the devil sing a lullaby to you? You say, I don't think he's ever sung a lullaby to me. I got a challenge for you tonight. You go home after everything's church is over, and you do whatever you do, eat your snack, whatever you do after church, or eat your, not a snack if you're Brother Brian, you know, your third, fourth meal of the day, and you get you a bowl of ice cream, and then another bowl of ice cream, and then a bag of popcorn, whatever you do when you get home. Hey, you do all that, and then you lay down, and you start opening up this Bible, and say, you know what, I think I'm going to try to learn that Psalm 91 tonight. And the devil will start singing a lullaby to you. He'll put you to sleep. I don't know why they were asleep. All I know is they were sleeping. And I know that sometimes when you're asleep, you get confused. You ever been woken? The Bible says here that they were asleep. It says they were heavy with sleep. And then it says, and when they were awake, wow, confusion. How many ever woke up confused? You say, I did about 30 minutes ago, Brother David. About an hour ago. You know, whoa, what day is this? Oh, it's Sunday, I got to go to church, right? Yeah, woke up confused. Happened to me not too long ago. I woke up one morning. I don't know what it was. I think Amazon was running at like 5:30. Has anybody else had Amazon run at their house at 5:30? No? In the morning, not in the evening. I'm talking in the morning. Am I lying? I am not lying. Well, it was about 6. Okay, I'm lying. It was about 6. It was about 6. I'm lying. It was about 6 o'clock. I'm sorry. I corrected my lie. I heard something. I was laying in the bed, and I usually get up by 5:30. That's why I said 5:30, but I overslept. I don't set an alarm, and maybe God used Amazon to wake me up that morning, but I heard something, and I woke up, and I mean, I literally jumped to my feet. I mean, I was like, the trash truck. I thought it was trash day because they come early. My trash company comes early. And I was like, man, they are not going to get me with this 2 weeks of trash stuff again. They got me during the snowstorm. They not getting me this time, right? And so I jumped up and I ran down the hallway. And I mean, yeah, I didn't get dressed or nothing, right? I ran down the hallway and I kind of got my wits together and I heard them pull off. And I was like, ain't the trash truck. It was an Amazon package at 6 o'clock in the morning. But I was confused. I mean, I was sleeping, and I heard something. I woke up, and I was dazed and confused, right? You know what I'm talking about. You've been there. I think that's where Peter was. They're asleep. They're on the mountain. Jesus is praying. I don't know why they're sleeping. They like doing that when Jesus is praying. They do that again in the garden. two of the greatest events in Jesus' life, Peter's sleeping. But he wakes up, and I believe he's confused. And you know, I wonder about this. You know, I got to hurry, but I want to say this. You know, I want to apply this to the church today. I wonder if the reason that many Christians are confused is because they're asleep. You know, the Bible constantly tells us to wake up. Romans chapter 13, verse 11 says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep." We know that's not talking about a physical sleep. That's talking about a spiritual sleep. Ephesians chapter number 5 verse 14 says, "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead." You say, is sleeping like being dead? I don't know. Some of you it might be. I was going to use you, Brother David. Amanda said you could shoot a shotgun, though, Brother David. He wouldn't wake up, right? Some of the ladies are like, my husband dies when he sleeps. I believe in the resurrection. My husband does it every morning, right? He's been dead for 10 hours. He didn't hear nothing. And all of a sudden, he's resurrected from the dead, right? He says, wake up. Wake up. I wonder tonight if the church is asleep.
And that's why we're so confused. That's why we don't understand what's going on. That's why we can't see the big picture of COVID and the wars and the rumors of wars and the Antichrist and all that's happening in our world. We don't really get it because we're half asleep spiritually speaking, and God is saying, wake up, wake up. Peter, he's asleep on the mountain. And I mean, this is something amazing getting ready to happen. A wonderful event is about to take place, and Peter is asleep. I wonder tonight in 2022 if there's a wonderful, a powerful, a prophetic, I mean, a big event getting ready to take place, and the church is asleep. Confused. We don't understand what's going on. We can't quite put together all the pieces and all the dots of what's happening, and it's because we're sleeping. Not only do I see the evidence of Peter sleeping, but I see this, the evidence of Peter speaking. Look at Luke chapter 9 here. That's where you're at. I'll go back to Mark in a minute. Look at verse 33. The Bible says this, and it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. You say, well, that sounds like a good thing to say. I believe it was. I agree with Peter. Lord, it's good for us to be here. I kind of picture Peter, like, I know how I'm different than everybody else, but in my mind, I kind of picture Peter like going, woo! It is good for us to be here. You say, well, that ain't the way I see it. Well, you look at it how you look at it, but I'm thinking Peter woke up and God, Jesus is transformed, and I mean, it's something amazing happening, and Peter's like, woo! It is good for us to be here. You should have stopped there, Peter. You ever been Peter and just wish you would have stopped? Man, this convicts me. All right. Go to Mark chapter number 9. It says, and Peter answered and said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. And in verse number 6 says, for he wist not what to say. He wist not what to say. I didn't have you look at it. Verse 33 in chapter 9, it said, it came to pass, they departed. Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it's good for us to be here. And then after he said that, it says, not knowing what he said. See, I think Peter was confused. He just spoke out. He didn't know what to say. He didn't even know what he said. I've done that before. Said something and then be like, I don't even know what I said. I don't know why I said it, but I don't know what I said, right? Peter was confused. He's speaking out. You know, the Bible tells us about that. It's good sometimes not to say anything. I'm preaching to David now, okay? So everybody else, y'all just hang on a minute while I preach to David for a little bit, all right? Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19 says this, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Sometimes it's good to just stop talking. See, Peter said a good thing, but then he said too much. He kept saying things. He didn't know what to say, so he just started talking. Proverbs 17, 27, 28 says this, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. That's what the Bible says. Sometimes it's good for us just not to say anything if we don't know what we're saying. If we're confused and we're not sure what we're talking about, it's probably best that we don't talk. I think about James chapter number 3. The Bible talks about the tongue and how it's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Who can tame it, right? See, Peter's having a problem taming his tongue. I think Peter is confused, and he's confused, and the evidence is that he's sleeping, but there's also evidence in his speaking and what he said. Peter, you got to think about what Peter just said. Y'all remember last week, right? Jesus said, whom do men say that I am? And this was last week for Peter as well. He said 6 days later, right? So last week, Jesus asked his disciples, hey, man, who do people say that I am? Well, some say Elias, some say John the Baptist, Jeremiah, some say the other prophets. He said, but whom do ye say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And now here's Peter on the mountain, and he's wanting to build a tabernacle, a booth, a tent, whatever you want to call it. He's wanting to build one for Jesus, for Elijah, and for Moses. Peter, you confused? Do you remember that conversation we had last week, Peter? You say, well, I don't think that's what he's saying. I'm going to show you. I believe it is. But I see first that he's the evidence of it is he's sleeping, but also what he said, but also this, that he's scared. Look at verse number 6 of Mark. The Bible says this, for he wist not what to say, and it says this, for they were sore afraid. I looked that word sore afraid up. It's very interesting. It's only used twice in the New Testament. The other time is in Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 21, when Moses is talking, I believe Pastor preached on that a while back, when Moses is talking about being at the Mount Sinai. And the Bible says that he was sore afraid. He was frightened at the thundering, at the mountain, right? That's that same word here, only used twice in the New Testament. It means this. If you look at it in a Strong's Concordance, it literally means frightened out of one's wits. That's what the Strong's Concordance says. One commentator said it means to be, it's violent fright. I mean, Peter was scared to death. You say, well, I think it was a reverential fear. I do believe in a minute there was a reverential fear. When the cloud came, Peter, the Bible says he fell down. I believe it was in reverence. But at this point in time, I don't believe that's the case. I believe Peter was sleeping. If you read all three accounts, I believe Peter and the disciples, James and John, were asleep and Jesus was praying. And then all of a sudden, Jesus began to be transfigured. Jesus began to have that metamorphosis take place. And his glory that was on the inside began to show on the outside. And Peter and James and John were awakened. And when they saw that transfiguration, it scared them to death. I mean, you're talking about a light that's brighter than any light. It said it was as white as it could be, right? It was shining, and I believe it was probably possibly in the middle of the night, and it wakened Peter and James and John, and the Bible says that they were scared. You know, sometimes when we get scared, we get confused. If we're honest, when we get scared, we'll get confused. I think about a lot of things when it comes to this, but all that's going on in our world, Philip mentioned some of it. You start thinking about the possibilities of what could happen in our world. If you're not careful, you know what'll happen? Fear will start to set in. And it don't have to be that. It could be anything. I mean, you name it. It could be sickness. It could be something to do with your health. It could be something like losing your job. It could be something like, I mean, you just name it. When we get scared, when fear gets to setting in, if we're not careful, we'll start, the confusion will begin to set in. And we'll get confused. We won't be thinking straight. And I believe that's what's happening here in this story. I believe that Peter, this event that's going on, I'm trying to give you some evidence that I believe Peter was confused. I believe he was scared. I believe the other disciples were scared. They were sleeping. He said some things, and I believe it's all evidence of his confusion. And so I've seen the event of his confusion. I've seen the evidence of his confusion. And now I want to finish with this, the expelling of his confusion. Look at verse number 7. And this is where I'll end at. The Bible says that there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved son, hear him." The first thing about the expelling of confusion is the cloud. I don't know about you, but I sure am glad for the times in my life when I'm confused and the cloud shows up. You say, what do you mean the cloud? The voice of God, the presence of God. That's what that cloud represents. You think about in the Old Testament, the children of Israel, when they were wandering around in the wilderness, that cloud that they followed by day and that fire by night, you know what it was? It was the presence of God. Moses said, God, if you won't go up with us, we're not going to go. But that cloud, it represented the presence of God. And can I tell you tonight, I am so glad for the times in my life when I'm confused, when I don't understand, when I don't see the big picture, and I don't know what's going on, that there's a cloud that'll show up. The presence of God will show up, and a voice will speak, And that's what happened here to these disciples. I believe Jesus is helping Peter. He's molding Peter. He's trying to make Peter into what he wants him to be. And Peter, he told him, Peter, I'm going to the cross. And Peter said, be it not so, Lord. And now a week later, Jesus is showing Peter some more. He's revealing some more to him. And Peter's confused. And the Bible says that a cloud showed up and it began to expel that confusion. It began to show Peter what he needed to know, right? So we see the cloud. Not only that, I see the correction. This is why I believe Peter was confused. This is my evidence. This is my number one evidence for believing that Peter was confused. Look at the correction. The Bible says, and there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. Go to Matthew 17 real quick. I'm getting ready to close. Go to Matthew 17. Matthew 17. Look at verse number 5. It says, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And then he says this, hear ye him. I believe God was saying, Peter, don't you worry about Elijah. Don't you worry about Moses. You just worry about him. He is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. He is who you believe that he is, Peter. Don't get it confused. Don't get it twisted. Don't get it mixed up. He's everything that he says he is and so much more. Can I tell you tonight, brethren, hey, if you're a little confused about what's going on in our world today, just remember he is who he says he is. Don't get that confused, right? God said, Peter, I know you're a little confused, but let me tell you something. The cloud showed up and there was a correction and then there was some comfort. Look at verse number 7. The Bible says, and Jesus came and he touched them and he said, arise, be not afraid. Peter said, Peter and the disciples, I mean, they're fearful. They don't understand what's happening. I mean, this is a powerful event. This is something big. And Peter is confused, and the disciples are afraid, and they fall down, the Bible says, and the cloud overshadows them, and the voice comes out of heaven and says, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. And then I believe it's in Luke. I wrote it down. I won't have you turn there. No, it's in Mark. Turn back to Mark. You probably got your place there, Mark. Look at Mark chapter number 8. It says, and suddenly when they looked around about, they saw no man anymore save Jesus only with themselves. That's the comfort. Peter's confused, and I almost used these points on this message. I almost said there was a voice and there was a validation. He validated what he had already said, and then there was that victory, and he came and he comforted them. I'm thankful for the comfort of God when I'm confused. Maybe somebody here tonight, I don't know. I try to preach message. I try to preach what God tells me to preach, and I really felt like God wanted me to preach this. And I was just trying to figure out why. And maybe there's somebody here tonight. You're confused. You just don't understand. Maybe there's something going on in your life that's got you confused. Maybe it's something going on in our world that has you confused. I'm glad that as God's children, when we're confused, God will come and expel that confusion. If we'll let him, that cloud will show up. The presence of God will come and will speak to us and will correct us and will comfort us in our situation. And if you've been saved very long, you know what I'm talking about. There's been some times you just didn't understand, and then all of a sudden, that voice spoke. That confirmation came. That comforter said, it's okay. Don't worry. Be not afraid. It's Jesus. Everything's gonna be okay. I really believe that's what Jesus is trying to teach Peter. He's trying to get Peter to understand. Peter, I know I told you something. I mean, you got to understand what he told him a week ago. He's going to die. Peter thought he was going to set up a kingdom. Jesus said, "Nah, Peter, I'm going to die first. I'm going to the cross." And no doubt the disciples and Peter, and I'm talking about Peter, but all the disciples, they're confused. They don't understand it. And Jesus is just trying to show them, "Don't worry, guys. It's going to be okay. I'm going to set up my kingdom. It's not going to be the way you thought it was going to be, but it's going to be okay." And I'm just here to say tonight, church, and I'm not preaching this because of what's going on in Ukraine, but hey, it applies. There's some things in our world that we might not understand, and they might confuse us, but we just need to remember, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. He's going to do exactly what he said he was going to do. He's coming again. He's setting up his kingdom. That what Peter saw, we're going to see. In all his glory, in his majesty, Jesus, King Jesus, is going to come again. No need for us to be confused. We can be comforted in that truth. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. God, thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that somehow you would take the message tonight. God, I pray that if there's somebody here tonight that's confused about some things in their life, God, I pray that you would help them. I pray that the cloud would overshadow them. God, that they would get a comforting voice and touch from Jesus. God, help us as your children to not let fear stop us. God, help us not to be asleep. Help us to be awake and aware. God, help us to just know what your plan is for our lives. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.